Get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download the Shiny Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download the Shiny Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Shiny Radio app for free now.
Hi, this is Melanie Crystal with the Reimagining Success podcast. So happy that you're able to join me today. Today's topic is the African American Museum of History in Washington, D.C. I had the honor of visiting there recently and just wanted to discuss it with you all and share some of my thoughts. But first, I want to recap our last episode. I was able to talk with Chassie, a mechanical engineer who worked for a government agency. And our crystal for last week was being open to reinventing yourself. We were able to talk about her story and how she was able to reinvent herself and continues to do so. And that was really, really a good and interesting discussion that she and I had around reinventing yourself, also STEM and being a woman in engineering. But today I'm going to go ahead and pivot to talk about African-American history and being an African-American based off of my experience in the museum. Our crystal for today is be stronger than your strongest excuse. So I'll talk about being stronger than your strongest excuse as we go forward in the podcast today. So when I entered the African American Museum in Washington, D.C., actually, before I entered it, if you haven't seen the outside structure, it's really beautiful and amazing and breathtaking, actually. The architecture and design is top-notch, first class. It's brown and it has different levels that you see from the outside. Design in the walls. It's really quite a sight to see. So if you haven't been there, you can Google it and check it out and look at it from the outside. They also have on their Smithsonian app for the museum a portion of the app where you can actually click on it and look at certain exhibits on the web from the museum. So I also urge you to take a look at that after you hear the podcast, if you're interested in checking out more about the museum. So once I entered into the museum and I saw the layout, the bottom three floors are where they typically suggest you start in the museum. The bottom floor goes into the history of slavery. And then you go up a level and you move more into the history around the civil rights movement. But the bottom three floors focus on the struggle for freedom for African Americans in this country. And then the top three floors of the museum demonstrate African American achievements in art, music, science, technology, the military. It's so amazing and it feels endless. Like there are just so many people who have achieved so much. And I do know that, you know, all those who are in the museum have made achievements, but there's so many more names of people who are not in the museum who have achieved and helped America become as great and become what it has been over the years that are of African-American heritage. But first, I'll discuss a bit about the bottom three floors. One thing that stuck out to me was that slavery started. You know, slavery has been going on for centuries. And when slavery started, race didn't matter initially. And also, it was a temporary condition. So anyone could be a slave if their country was in war and they were held captive, then they were taken as slaves. Or people sometimes sold their friends and sold their family members to get money, to earn money, and they could do like temporary stints as an indentured servant. So initially, in the 1400s and before, slavery just was a temporary condition and race really didn't matter. You could be any ethnicity. You could be European, you could be Asian, you could be African, could be any. But then over the course of time, over 100 or 200 years, that idea slowly changed and changed with the Atlantic slave trade. So in 1619 is when the Atlantic slave trade began, where slaves were sent to the Americas, where Africans were sent to the Americas to become slaves. And that's when it morphed, slavery morphed into being based on a race. So mostly predominantly the African race. There were Asian slaves as well. And like I said, there were also some European indentured servants still back then. But it kind of, the thought of it kind of morphed into being more race-based. And the other thing that was really striking to me was that at that, this was the time as well when the idea morphed from it being a temporary situation to being a permanent condition. And this was detailed in the museum as well. So the permanent condition meant that not just that one person was a slave for a specific period of time, but their offspring would be born into slavery as well. So that just really struck a chord with me, because that is what helped slavery endure and continue in the form that it did for hundreds of years. Another thing that stuck out to me from seeing the museum was that the journey to cross the Middle Passage, and that's where Africans were taken from their home. Primarily, it was West Africans that were taken into, were stolen or sold into slavery. So they were taken from their home and then had to take the journey from Africa to the Americas. And the Americas is used broadly. It includes, you know, the United States of America or North America and Canada. It included the Caribbean, and it also included South America and, you know, like portions of Brazil and some of the South American countries. So during that Middle Passage, if 100 Africans were taken, you know, captured or sold, only 48 survived the trip and made it to the Americas. And that really struck me as well, because what I learned from that was that only the strongest survived. The road, the journey was treacherous. So once someone was taken from their village in Africa, they actually had to travel by foot. So walk from their village to the coast to board one of the slave ships. And so it detailed that a number of those people wouldn't survive just the trek from their village to the coast to get to the slave ship. So you could have, you know, 10 or 15 of them pass away during that time. And then they had to survive the journey on the ship from Africa to the Americas. And it was very striking. Some of the ships, if they held 700 slaves, only 300 or 700 people, only 300 would make it and survive. There are 350, about half of them, make it and survive the trip. The trip was very treacherous. The conditions that the people were put in were inhumane, honestly. They were kind of stacked up like sardines and had no access to bathrooms and all the common things that we're used to having. And, you know, they were just close together in close quarters, where often they couldn't even sit up and stand up if they were at the bottom of the ship. So many of them did not survive that portion of the trip. And then once they made it to the Americas, many of them caught disease within the first, you know, few months and passed away that way, because their bodies were not used to the conditions and the diseases in the Americas. So once again, like I said, out of 100 Africans taken from their home country, only 48 on average survived to actually make it to become a slave and working in the fields in the Americas. And so, you know, being of African heritage myself, I know that my blood is of the strongest of the strong that have survived. And that also helps me to remember our crystal of the day: be stronger than your strongest excuse. These people had so many excuses not to survive, not to just live. But they, you know, mustered up all the will, the courage, the strength that they had to survive that voyage and live, you know, live in a new country, a new place, being oppressed. And whatever excuses they had, those that survived were the strongest, and they survived. So I'm just really thankful for that and for the ancestors that I have who were able to survive that treacherous journey. And then, as I mentioned, as I went up in floors of the museum, the next section of the museum dealt with the time from 1865, when the 13th Amendment abolished slavery, until 1964, when the Civil Rights Act passed that outlawed discrimination based on race, color, religion, sex, or national origin. So in those approximately 100 years, a lot happened. And although slavery was abolished in 1865, minorities, African Americans, were still marginalized for the 100 years between 1865 and 1964. And that's where the civil rights movement in the 1960s, 50s, 60s was birthed out of. So, and I will say that while the 1964 Civil Rights Act was a victory, we are still to this day working to protect the rights of women, minorities, and the disenfranchised. So there's still, you know, a lot more work to be done to protect the civil liberties of all. It also showed, the museum also showed, and it stuck out to me, was how African Americans built this country. From the design to the city that I was in, Washington, D.C., by Benjamin Banneker, who helped to design the actual layout of the city of Washington, D.C., to the black hands that built, put in the labor to build the White House, and also all many other parts of this country. Now, I will say that one thing that also is very important to know about our country's history with slavery was that actually the reason slavery was even around and remained, one of the reasons, was because it was a big business. It literally was the way that the plantations ran and made money to make cotton, tobacco, and the other crops that were sold all around the world, sugar. They needed laborers to actually harvest, you know, plant and harvest this commodity. And so that was the one of the main reasons why it continued for so long, why the South, Southern states were opposed to getting rid of it, because the hands and the labor of the African Americans who worked on those plantations is what brought a lot of money to this country and helped it become, you know, the country rich place that it was, which is an interesting dichotomy to know that the hands of those who had so little helped the country become so rich. So that was just kind of some of the things that stood out to me on the bottom three floors. The top three floors of the museum, like I said, demonstrated African-American achievements in art, music, science, technology, in the military, in sports. And it was truly inspirational to see all of the achievements, all of the people who have made such a difference in so many realms within this country that were of African-American descent. And it also felt like it went on and on and on, because there were so many exhibits, displays of these people. And that section, it showed people who achieved. They were stronger than their strongest excuse. Another example of the crystal of the day. They could have had an excuse to not practice or perform or to, you know, win a game or championship, but they were stronger than their strongest excuse, which is continues to be inspirational to me. I really enjoyed seeing 9 of Carl Lewis's 10 Olympic medals. So we saw his gold medals. He had a few silvers in there. And they only displayed 9 of his 10 medals because the 10th medal he actually buried in the casket of his father when he passed away, who he attributed his success to. He said without him, he would not, you know, be the success that he was. So another important example of, you know, his father, his mentor, just helping him to achieve and reimagine the success that he could achieve. I also really enjoyed seeing Garrett Morgan's plans for the first traffic light. They had an exhibit on Garrett Morgan, who was a scientist. He had created many inventions. The traffic light was one of the inventions. And he also created the smoke hood, which was a predecessor to the gas mask. And it was really cool to see an example. They had one, his model of the smoke hood in the exhibit as well. He also, because, you know, all of my ladies who like to switch up their hair and do all these cool styles, he also had hair product inventions, such as a straightening comb. He had a hot comb that he created, and it was in the exhibit, which is pretty cool to see. And then he also created other hair products that would chemically straighten and process hair as well. So those are a few of the people who I saw. I mean, they also had like singers like Whitney Houston's gown. They had all the singing greats in there. Luther Vandross, Dizzy Gillespie, any that you can think of, they had either a display or some of their artifacts or clothing. The shoes from Fats Domino were in there. So that was really cool to see. And then I loved seeing the sports section as well. As I mentioned, Carl Lewis, but they had all the basketball greats. Kobe Bryant's jersey. They had shoes from Shaquille O'Neal, LeBron James. They also had statues of Venus and Serena Williams, you know, who were tennis champs and tennis greats. So it was very just uplifting and cool to see all of these African Americans who have just, you know, dominated in their craft and their skill and their sport and just been successful in their lives. And I really was inspired by learning about the African-American journey from slavery through the civil rights movement up until today as well. And all that it has inspired me to be stronger than my strongest excuse so that I can achieve and I can, you know, be successful, help others, most importantly, to be their best self as well. So I'd like to thank you for listening today. I'm Melanie Crystal, and this is the Reimagine Success Podcast. Have a great day.
Get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download the Shiny Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download the Shiny Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Bashani Radio app for free now.